Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to BrotherLance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
BrotherLance.com.
Pray, bear, and encourage. Christianity is not a solo operation. We all have to do what we all have to do, but we don't have to do it alone. We might think we are saving other parts of the body of Christ from having to deal with our issues by not sharing. This is not true. We are spiritually connected. If the hand suffers, the rest of the body suffers too. If the body knows that the hand is suffering, then it can step up and make sure it gets the attention it needs. But if the hand plays it off as if everything is okay, when called upon to act, the hand will fail in its function for the body. So we must stay open and connected, praying for each other, bearing each other's burdens, and encouraging each other. Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Amen. Dear Father, we praise you. We thank you so much for all you do for us, for taking care of us, giving us strength, health, and energy, and vitality, and determination to keep moving forward in this life. And bless us with your Holy Spirit, guys, your truth. Help us understand how to support each other, build each other up, and, you know, just be there for the body. We love you. Thank you. And thank you for being with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is a discussion. So this is only two pages. So, but we're going to record the first part, and then after that, we'll turn off the camera. The kind of genesis of this is, you know, I've been worn out, and this the beginning of this year hasn't been all that great. And there's like just so much stresses and pressures and stuff, you know. And I'm like, you know what? I know other people are dealing with other things too, and that we need to like build each other up. So that's where this comes from. So 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Do not seek your own good, but the good of the other person." Right. So we're supposed to live sacrificially. We're supposed to be looking out for each other, right? And the fear is in that is if I look out for other people, who's going to look out for me? Right. But that's not the Christian mindset, because we're not looking for other people to look out for us. We're looking to be the example, you know, and get rid of the selfishness of it, like God did and the disciples did and our examples, you know. And so Philippians 2:1-5, "If therefore there is an exhortation in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassion, make my joy full by being like minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through rivalry or through conceit, but in humility, each counting others better than themselves. Each of you not just looking for his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus," right? And so we have to always be thinking about, like, you know, we go through a lot of things in life. You know, my family's going through a lot of things in life, but we've never stopped thinking about other people. And then even when we feel like it's rough, we always talk about other people around the world, like in Voice of the Martyrs and stuff like that, to help, one, coach our brains that it's tough, but also to help us remember that other people have it tougher than we have. So when we're feeling like, you know, things are just overwhelming, there's people dealing with a lot more than what we are, even though it's tough for us also. And it helps give us perspective, right? But the thing that the devil wants us to do is get so focused on ourselves that we lose contact, we lose perspective. And then, you know, it's almost an act of self-worship where we think about our issues so much, our problems so much, and, you know, oh, woe is me so much, you know, that we're actually flipping it around and worshiping problems and self. And we don't want to do that. And how do we break that? The Bible tells us right here. It says, be looking to other people's things too. It helps take that tendency away from us, right? So we always have to be outwardly focused. Romans 12:10, "If in love of the brothers, be tenderly affectionate to one another, honor and preferring one another." That's why, you know, I'm a hugger. I like to tell people I love them. You know, I'm an affectionate person. You know, nowadays it's almost taboo, especially for guys. You know, like I prayed with a guy at the Walmart, and he went to go shake my hand. I was like, give me a hug. I was like, I know everybody thinks we're gay now if we hug because we're two guys, you know, and that's the problem, isn't it? Is that like there's such a like so much perversion in the world. It gets rid of intimacy because everybody's so skewed towards that. Yeah, and paranoid, right? They're like, oh, what are you thinking? Like, my daughter's 14. When we're out in public, I hold her hand. Oh, my gosh. He must be a because he's, you know, hell holding his dad. No, I love my daughter. We're affectionate family. All of us love to snuggle. I mean, come on. It's free. You know, get a hug. It's free. You know, kiss somebody. Hold their hand if they're your family members or whatever. It's not a big deal. You know, I remember growing up as kids, you'd walk around with your arm over your bud's shoulder. Not a big deal. Affection and telling each other we love, that's such a needed thing. And the more we do it, the less isolated we feel, the more hugs we get, the more we tell each other. I tell my wife I love her a million times a day. I tell my kids I love them all the time. You know, why? What's the point? It's going to lose its value. No, not if it's backed up with action, it'll never lose its value. If your actions are proving out your words, then hey, not a problem, right? So we have to keep doing that for each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. So see that no one repays an evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. If we feel slighted by a part of the body, if we feel rejected by a part of the body, or like we're sacrificing and they're not sacrificing, the Bible never gives us permission to retaliate. Right? We always have to keep teaching and showing them the example through love and caring and still being there, right? And that in time, that example becomes undefeatable, right? Because regardless of how they're doing, because what's the easiest thing to do? Oh, God tells you to do something. You don't do it. That person knows God's supposed to put that on your heart. You don't do it. And they get offended, right? And so what is the thing? Well, I didn't do it. And we'll see how you acted when I didn't do that. And see, I'm not going to ever do a thing for you, right? And then the person who is supposed to do it feels, you know, justified. Like, well, because you acted that way, it's a good thing I didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, because why would I want to do it for somebody like you? And then they're self-justified. So you never want to retaliate. You always want to just be in love, show kindness, and take that away from them so they can have some conviction, you know, and be like, okay, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. They're still not kind of loving. Now what do? I can't be mad at them, because if I was mad at them, I could ignore my own stuff. But now I have to deal with my stuff, right? And that's why the Bible tells us to be this way, not rail for rail and curse for curse, but counterwise. Okay, so Galatians 5:13. For you, brothers, were called for freedom. Only don't use your freedom to gain to the flesh, but through love be servants to one another. Right? You ever wonder? Now, this will boggle your mind, and you have to wonder why this is. And we do this in the body of Christ too. But you ever wonder, like, when we have guests in our home, how well we treat them? But when family shows up, we don't do it. Oh, you're just family. Just do what you want. Why is that? It boggles the mind. It's like because we're trying to impress the guests, but when it comes to our family, you know, do what you want. Get out of my face. Right? I mean, isn't that backwards? Like the people we should be doing the best to are those that are our family. Yes, we should honor our guests, but our family, that's who we should be doing these things to, right? We should be like, and in the body of Christ, we'll fall all over ourselves to minister to a sinner. But when it comes to a brother or sister in Christ, we're just kind of like, oh, yeah. You know, it's so stupid. We don't need to be doing that. Okay. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers, right? So that's the example of Jesus, right? Pouring oneself out for each other. Romans 14:18-19. For the one who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by people. So then let us pursue what makes peace and for building up one another, right? So we should always, you know, like I've said before in the past, somebody has to take a hit. If wrongs are going around, someone has to just take the hit. If we all stand in the circle, I slap the person to the left, and we just keep slapping each other, it'll just keep going unless somebody just takes it and goes, okay, this is where it stops. I'll break that curse. I'll break that chain. It stops with me. I won't retaliate. I'm not going to fight back. I'm not going to do anything that they're doing. And it stops with me. And that pleases God, right? And so what can you do? If you're taking the hit, you can do what this says. Build one another up, right? Be there for each other. Lift one each other up. Pursue peace, right? And unity with each other, okay? And so how often do we feel like, well, no one calls me. No one texts me. No one comes see me. Nobody does this. Okay, who are you calling, texting, and going seeing? Right? Like when I reach out, nobody's there. Well, are you there when other people reach out? Right? It gets like this weird dichotomy. Well, I'm not going to do it because they're not going to do it. Now I'm justified because they did it, so I'm doing it. Everybody's doing it. Who cares? right? And so, and that's like a circle argument. So we have to get rid of that, right? Okay, so let's put it in action. What are the actions? It says, in action, be each other's strength. Galatians 6, 2, top of page 2. It says, bear one another's burdens, and so you will fulfill the law of Christ. How do we bear each other's burdens? One, we don't ignore each other. Two, we're intimately involved with each other's lives. If there's a problem in somebody's life and we have the power to fix it, we fix it. This last week, okay, so like out of all the people other than the people here in the group, I sent out that email asking and saying, listen, we got some bills we can't pay. We need help. I sent it to everybody that receives, which is like 19 or 20 people that receive the Bible study through email every month. Mm-hmm. No one responded besides one person. And his name is Michael. And and I just put out a text. I was like, you know, just please pray. And he goes, Lance, this is what he told me. He's like, I'm not going to give God lip service by saying I'm going to pray for you if I can actually help you.
Perfectly said.
Right? I'm like, that's what it says in James. Why do you say to your brother, go be filled, I'll pray for you, if you have it in your hands to help them?
That's right.
That's how we bear each other's burdens. So that means you're not just trying to get rid of all the problems of your life and have it easy. That means you're taking on other people's problems. You know, and you're like, your problem is now my problem. But if in God's paradigm, if we all do that, it works because everybody's looking out for everybody. You know, say your barn burned and you had to build a new barn, right? You go out there and you build a barn by yourself and it takes you weeks, right? But or you have a community of people that you've invested into their lives and you help them out, right? And you say, hey, I need to build a barn. You have 10 people show up, you build it in 2 days. Isn't that better?
That's right.
Right, but that means that if their barn burned, you have to go help them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right, but it's better. It spreads it out, you know? And so Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Mm-hmm. Right? So what does that mean? If someone is happy, be happy with them. If they're sad, be sad with them. Bear their pain. Bear their joy. If something's great going on in their life, then rejoice. Even if something's great and not going great in your life, you should rejoice with them. And if something might be going great in your life and something bad happens, that means God says, humble yourself and go bear their burdens and share in the pain and the suffering with them so they can know that they're not alone, right? Okay, be gentle and sweet. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, affectionate, compassionate, and humble. Harmonious, unity, peacefulness, sympathetic, right? You know, have some empathy. Look at people and go, man, I feel sorry for the hurt you're in, right? Even if it's self-induced. Affectionate, right? We talked about that earlier. You need to get some hugs. And they used to kiss each other back in the day. Guys would kiss guys on the cheek. You know, it's not a big deal. Now it's weird, but I'm not kissing you, but I'll give you a hug. Compassionate and humble, right? So next one, Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you, right? And so we need to have an open heart. So you have to get rid of the score sheet. As a Christian, you don't keep a score sheet. God keeps score. You don't keep a score sheet. Like, well, I did this for that person and I did that for them. They never did. Okay. Who are you working for? Who are you loving? Are you doing it for God and Christ or to get a score? Right? You're trying to get like gold stars? No, I mean, come on. You know, if you're doing it for God and Christ, then they know. Right. If you're trying to love and be sacrificial in it and giving regardless of returning, then don't worry about it. Right? Well, I did this and I did that. Well, who cares? You know, Bible says, why do we boast? What do you have that hasn't been given unto you? The only thing that we can do good in our hearts is because God gives us the ability to be good. So it's actually Christ in us doing good things. Mm-hmm. So then again, so let's not keep score. Serve each other. Mark 10:43-44. But it is not this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of all. No, we don't like that, especially in America where we're all talking about getting ours and we're climbing the ladder and people kowtowing and kissing our butts, you know, and pleasing us and making us happy. That's not God's way. It's not the kingdom's way. And if you don't like that way, you're not going to like heaven, you know, because that's God's way. And praise God it's his way, because if it wasn't, you know, we'd be like living under like a mastermind evil person that dominates and enslaves. Instead, he brings life, freedom, hope, and joy, and peace, and you know, unity. So praise God for that. Pray in agreement with each other. Matthew 18:19-20. Again, I say to you, if any of you agree on the earth by anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are together in my name, there I am among them. Right? So we have to be praying with each other. I found, like, because I try to, as often as possible, call people when they ask for prayer and pray with them. I found it to be more powerful. I found it to be more effective, to be honest, you know, and to join in with them in prayer. And it also lets the person know that you value them enough that you'll take time out of your day to call them and hear a friendly voice and someone, you know. And so as much as we can, we should be praying with people, but definitely be praying for people, you know, and get involved that way. Okay. So don't hide your failures from those you can trust. Now, there's some kooky people out there you don't want to tell stuff to, but if they're really brother and sister in Christ, you can trust them. Ephesians 5:21, in submitting to one another out of reverence for God, right? So we must submit to each other, not of like, you're my master, right? But it goes with the next verse, James 5:16. Confess your offenses / sins, such, you know, transgressions to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The insistent prayer of the righteous person is powerfully effective, right? And so if you go through that whole James 5 area right there, he's talking about healing, right? So often our prayers of healing aren't answered because we don't confess our sins before we pray, right? That's what it says. Right. Confess your offenses and pray for another that you may be healed. Now, it's a spiritual healing. It's also a physical healing, right? But so a lot of times people hold back from God, and that's why they're not getting everything, the healing that they want. And that's not everything, but a lot of times that could be it, right? And so that's why if I'm really starting to pray, like I've prayed with some people on the phone for healing, you know, I ask God to forgive them of their sins because, you know, and that they need to like open up about these things. But either way, we need to confess our faults to each other. We don't need to be hiding things. I try to be as open and honest with you guys as much as possible. You know, if anybody ever wanted to go back and just dice all the times I outed myself on the podcast, you have a good little like, you know, throw up session of all my failures. But, you know, I don't try to hide this stuff. And I don't want people to think I'm some super Christian or I got it all right or I'm perfect or anything like that. Because nobody does, you know. And even if you got it right better than 99% of everybody else, it doesn't matter because Jesus is the example. And he's perfect, right? And so we'll never get there, you know. But it doesn't mean we're not supposed to try. Okay, last one. Romans 12:9-21. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cling to that which is good, and the love of the brothers be tenderly affectionate to one another, and honor preferring one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, enduring in troubles, continuing steadfastly in prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. But be of the same mind one towards another. Don't set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't repay evil for evil. Respect what is honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as is up to you, I love this verse, be at peace with all men. If it is up to you, don't seek revenge for yourself, beloved, but give place to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I'll repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him the drink. In the doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. Right. Imagine if everybody just like marriages, they put these Romans 12:9-21 into practice, or in relationships, friendships, business relationships. Right. And so if we want unity in the body of Christ, just to recap before we finish the recording and talk, we have to be good to each other, right? Look out for each other, not just our own, be tender affection, always seeking to do good to each other, serve one another, lay down our lives for each other, build each other up, bear each other's burdens, rejoice with people that rejoice, weep with those who weep, be harmonious, sympathetic, affectionate, and compassionate and humble towards each other, forgiving each other. We must serve one another. You know, we're supposed to pray together, confess our sins and faults to each other, and basically get rid of the flesh with each other. That's what it amounts to. Stop doing these things that, you know, we feel justified. And let's be honest, we feel a certain sense of power when we have these emotions. Like, I'm angry. I feel powerful. You know, well, they hurt me this way. Well, I'm, you know, and what is that really? That's really just us trying to gain control. Right. And that's why we have these bad emotions, these bad thoughts. It's our flesh trying to fight for control. Well, they did this, so I won't do that. They did that, so I'll do this. You know, and that's all it is. And so if we need to stop the need for control, we need to go, okay, God, what would you have me to do? You know, even if it's like, you know, and Jesus gives the examples. What good is it, basically, if you love those who love you? Where's your reward in that? Mm-hmm. You're right. You got your reward. You got love back. But if you can love those who don't love you and basically give to those who don't give to you and sacrifice for those who don't sacrifice, now you got a reward, mm-hmm. right? Because it's God who repays, mm-hmm. right? And so I hope this encourages. And like here in a second, I'm going to turn this off and we'll talk more. But, you know, we all need each other. We all need to not hide out. And life can get so busy. May it never get so busy that we neglect one another. Right. If life is so busy that we neglect each other, that's a trick of the devil. We're doing something wrong because that is not God's will. And if your life's so busy that you neglect your own people and your own household, well, that's doubly wrong, you know. And so we have to understand the devil will eat up every moment of our attention and time if we let him. Right. In the desire of self, you know, because that's his goal. But what is God's goal? God's goal is to make us be servants to all, love all, sacrifice for all, forgive all, and be compassionate and caring, pray with all, you know. And so we see this difference, and that's the mindset we have to get. And, you know, and the closer we get to the end of time, the worse it's going to get. You know, we're going to need each other that much more, you know. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll stop the recording, and then we'll talk. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this brief Bible study. Thank you for helping us understand how important it is to you that we love each other, bear each other's burdens. Everybody often asks, where is God? But the real question is, where's God's body? Where's those he sent out here to love on us and to be kind to us and to encourage one another? This is your plan. This is your body. So let us never ask, where is God? Let's ask, where is the body and how can I do something for that body? And so we thank you for all that you do for us and we love you very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you feel so led of the Lord and want to know how to donate to this ministry outreach, please visit brotherlance.com. And scroll down to the bottom of the main page for the PayPal link. Thank you, and may God's blessing rest upon you.
BrotherLance.com